After back-to-back-to-back Pacific League titles and one Japan Series win, last year was a disappointment for the Oryx Buffaloes as they missed the playoffs. But with a new manager, some free agent acquisitions, and players getting healthy, the Buffaloes are aiming to get back to the 2025 Japan Series. Let's talk about it today on the Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Japan Baseball Report. We did a segment last week on the Saitama Seibu Lions. This week, we are going to feature the Oryx Buffaloes and their preseason preview. The Oryx Buffaloes came into existence in 2024 when there was a merger between the Oryx Blue Wave of Kobe and the Kintetsu Buffaloes of Osaka, and they became the Oryx Buffaloes. The Buffaloes play in the Pacific League and are owned by Oryx, which is a financial service company that was founded in Osaka. And during the season, the Buffaloes usually split their home games between the Kyocera Dome in Osaka, and the Buffaloes franchise also plays at the Kobe Sports Park and Baseball Stadium at Hotomoto Field. The former was the home of the Blue Wave when the Hanshin Tigers have used the Kyocera Dome for their home games during the month of August. And for those of you who aren't familiar, the Koshin is the tournament, the high school tournament that goes on for Japan. I think there's 56 teams, if I'm not mistaken, are involved in the August tournament or the summer tournament. There is a spring version of the Koshin as well, but they use the field where the Tigers call their home, and they kind of bump the Buffaloes out of the Kyocera Dome for home games. And so with that being said, the Tigers have long been considered Osaka's team, but with the Buffaloes' recent stretch of success, the Buffaloes have slowly been gathering new supporters. We're going to take a moment to check out Osaka and the Kyocera Dome, as well as Hotomoto Field, and we'll come back and get things going with a look at the manager. Some people refer to Osaka as the kitchen of Japan, or even the heartbeat of Japan. Its historical structures are delicately maintained and tactfully integrated with modern design. The narrow streets and bustling crowds create a walking culture that adds to the allure of Osaka. The Oryx Buffaloes, who have been an afterthought in Japan's pro-yaku scene, have become more relevant in the 2020s with three consecutive trips to the Japan Series and capturing one title in 2022. They have a unique situation as they call home to both the Kyocera Dome in Osaka and to Hotomoto Field in Kobe. Their crosstown rivals, the Hanshin Tigers, use the Kyocera Dome for their August home games when the country's major high school tournament takes place at the Koshin Stadium. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, I was fortunate enough to hold the winner's medal. This one was from the Spring Koshin in 1993. Well, let's kick it off with the manager. There was a managerial change in Osaka this past year, as it is going to be Mamoru Kishida taking over the helm for Satoshi Nakajima. Nakajima was the first manager, became the manager for the Buffaloes in 2020, replacing Norifumi Nishimura. He was able to lead the Japan Series, or the Buffaloes to the Japan Series, three times, winning the series title in 2022 over Tokyo's Yakult Swallows. And despite his success, Nakajima stepped down on October 6th of 2024, as he has failed to lead the Buffaloes to their fourth straight pennant finish, as they ended up finishing fifth of the Pacific League. But it was just announced earlier this week that he has been rehired as a special assistant or consultant. And so he is going to still be around the Buffaloes ball club, which is great to see. It was interesting, Satoshi Nakajima, we used to get a laugh last year when we would see him. He was always the man of a million faces. He had a lot of expressions, and he always had some strange and interesting looks, which provided for some comedy when the cameras would be put on him. So now he is enjoying, I guess, some sort of retirement, but he is now in an advisor's role. And so at our first-year manager, Momura Kishida, he had a 14-year career all with the Buffaloes that ended in 2019. And what was interesting is as soon as he left his playing career, he became the pitching coach under Nakajima the year after his retirement. So in 2020, he became the lead dog, being the pitching coach of the Buffaloes. And he's still quite young as Kishida. He's 43 years old. He'll be no stranger to the Buffalo group. And one would expect that the pitching staff will be used in a similar way that it's been used in the previous five seasons. As it was with the Saitama Cebu Lions new manager, Kishida was also a pitcher, as we said, from his playing days. We noted in our last podcast that in the MLB, there's only one former current pitcher that is leading a ball club in Major League Baseball, and that would be Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies. And Kishida now is one of six former pitchers at the helm of an MPB team, and that's not too shabby for a 12-team league. We speculated that the way the game is taught and practiced in Japan might have something to do with maybe more former pitchers managing squads. Certainly in North America, some of the players do begin, as an example, to specialize a little bit sooner, maybe become pitcher only. And in a lot of ways, they don't necessarily do that. Or are able to, I guess, how can I put it? Yeah, they're not able to always understand the whole, all portions of the game when they're only focused on one specific spot. So like in our previous podcast, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the positional players, and we're going to go through some of the pieces this way, and we're going to start off with the catchers. So for the catchers for the Buffaloes, the top three, or at least who we feel are the top three, are Tomoya Mori, Kenya Wakatsuki, and Sho Fukunaga. I'm going to start off with Wakatsuki in a little bit here, but the Buffaloes relied pretty much on Wakatsuki and on Mori, as Wakatsuki appeared in 100 games. Tomoya Mori appeared in 50. Both of the catchers are the same age, but Mori gives the Buffaloes significantly more offense than his teammate Wakatsuki. Also, the versatility of Mori allowed him to DH and also take a turn in the outfield. Last year, Mori played 14 games in the outfield. He also appeared the year before in the outfield as well. He played some right field for the Oryx Buffaloes, and that was able to keep his bat in the lineup when Wakatsuki was catching. So who are the Buffaloes counting on in 2025? I would think more of the same. Wakatsuki's going to be 29 years old, and he caught 96 games, had twice the chances of that of Tomoya Mori last year. His fielding percentage was very similar, and Mori was marginally better in that department. There was a consensus that Wakatsuki could handle the staff better and that his blocking and receiving skills were much better than Mori at this point in his career. At the plate, Wakatsuki, though, only hit .201 with three homers and 18 RBIs. He did, however, lead the team in sacrifice bunts. And so as we move over to Tomoya Mori, he was a former league MVP with the Saitama Cebu Lions as he completed his second season with the Buffaloes. And he was almost in some ways used as a backup catcher to Wakatsuki. But that being said, playing as a designated hitter and sometimes in the outfield allowed him to get his bat in the lineup. Mori hit .281 with nine homers and 46 RBIs. For as big a swing as Mori has, he's got some pretty good plate discipline. He walked 50 times and only struck out 61. And certainly in today's baseball, when you can get guys at the major league level or in the NPB that are walking more than they're striking out, you don't see that on a regular basis like you did maybe 30 or 40 years ago in professional baseball. And once in his career, he did walk more than he struck out, but that was back in the 2021 season, was that for Mori. So pretty impressive with his regards to his plate discipline. The third catcher that we have up there is Sho Fukunaga, and it's almost a bit of an afterthought. I would think that the Buffaloes will be looking for somebody else. He's going to be 25 years old this season, and usually with players, they say 25 is the age in which you are either a prospect or a suspect. Fukunaga doesn't really have much future with the Buffaloes, to be fair, at least in our opinion, with the two catchers ahead of him. He only appeared in 11 games last year and hit .182. Doesn't have much offensive pop, even with the farm club. And so I would expect that the only way Fukunaga really gets to see some action is if one of the two ahead of him gets seriously hurt. But that is what we see there. And I would think that you're going to look over the next couple of years that probably they're going to try to acquire a catcher or two to start replacing their veterans. As we move over to first base is a little bit of a question mark. A strength in 2023 turned into a revolving door in 2024. Leandro Cedeño brought the pop when given the opportunity, but he has since departed for the Setúbal Cebu Lions, where he'll probably get an opportunity to play every day. So the three players that we have listed is Yuma Tongu, Rio Oda, and Ho Naito. And we'll kick it off with Tongu. Tongu, well, when outfielder Masataki Yoshida left for the MLB after the 2023 season, many pundits were asking where would the offense come from after his departure. Actually, it was actually after the 2022 season. And enter Yuma Tongu, who put up a career season that year. The former catcher ended up hitting over 300. He ended up rocketing 16 homers that year. And then in last year, it couldn't have gone any worse for Tongu, as Tongu saw his average drop over 100 points. He batted .197 with only 7 home runs and 30 RBIs. When the season was over, it left more questions than answers for the Buffaloes on the right side of the infield. So Tongu, who they relied on heavily, he was a former catcher early in his career and transitioned over to first base. They insert Rio Oda. And so Oda was getting a lot of time on the right side of the infield. He would play second base and then he would shift over late in the game and usually play first base. The recently turned 24-year-old Rio Oda split duties, as we said, between second and first. Though he has appeared in an NP game over the last 6 seasons, really, it was last year he had an extended look in his career. He had 369 plate appearances, hit a very respectable .288 with 6 homers and 40 runs driven in. Defensively, it's his mobility that provides the Buffaloes with the best option at first base, as he seems to have greater range than Tongu and anyone else that would be in that particular position. But at least in our eyes, that is what we would think. I would think that Tongu and Oda would be ones, but certainly Tongu, if Oda maybe can take control of second base, would lead them into a position where that would allow them to look after the right side of the infield. The other one is Ho Naito, who made his debut in 2024, and one word can describe his offensive output last year, and that would be overmatched. Naito is a 19-year-old who got plenty of playing time with the second team on the corners as he played both first and third base, and one would expect he'll continue to get another little taste of NPB action this year. At 5'10 and 220 pounds, Naito is physically strong and big for his age. But will he be able to solve NPB pitching to keep a place at the next level? I guess only time is going to tell. So that is our first base wrap-up, and now we'll move over to the other position on the right side of the infield at second base, and you'll notice that we had Rio Oda slated in there as well. Masahiro Nishino is first on our list, as well as Rio Oda and Jared Dale, and we'll talk about Dale extensively here today too. And last year, second base was a bit of a black hole in recent years, not just last year. Marwin Gonzalez, former big leaguer, retired at the end of last season as he was getting on in years, as did Rio Adachi. Adachi also packed it in at 37 years old. And to be fair, he was a bit of a shell of his former self. He had 6 consecutive years from 2013 to 2018 where he was pretty much the everyday Buffalo second baseman. Produced some pretty good numbers. But he was on a steady decline since the 2018 season, and in a lot of ways just hanging on where he would give them, you know, stretches of decent play, but not sustained over a long period of time. It's hard to play every day, especially as you get older. So where does it leave the Buffaloes? Well, we would expect that Masahiro Nishino will get an opportunity to play the position, although the likelihood of Nishino, now that he's going into his 35-year-old year, would be, I'm sure they would prefer someone younger to win it out. Nishino hit last year 300 with a homer and 13 RBIs, and it was his most plate appearances that he had since the 2019 season. So in some ways, I think Nishino is kind of there to be a stable pony for some of the other players. The other players, we've got another one on the list that we'll get to at the moment, as there's been another signing by the Buffaloes. But Rio Oda, as we talk about, as the first base option. He did appear at 54 games at second base for the Buffaloes. And with the addition of the next two players, there may be other options at second base to leave Oda plenty of time at first base if he's able to win out that position. And so who are the other players? Well, we've got Jared Dale on our list. Jared Dale is a recent signing. He was signed this week. Australian who was last in the San Diego Padre organization. Dale had the second best batting average and sixth best on base percentage playing in the Australian Winter League this year for the Melbourne Aces. As we said, he was a late signing to the Buffaloes here in February. So keep an eye on him to see if the Buffaloes have got themselves a bargain pickup. He never got to the big leagues with the Padres, as he had spent time at the upper levels of the minor leagues. But Jared Dale was released, and now he has hooked on with the Oryx Buffaloes. But the other player who's not on our list, if you're looking or listening to us on YouTube, is Jordan Diaz, a 24-year-old Colombian-born infielder who played parts of two seasons at the MLB level with the Oakland A's. He had 10 homers and 321 big league at-bats while holding down a .227 batting average. Diaz played 40 of his 105 MLB games at second base. So he's also had some time at third and at first. But I would have to think that maybe the Buffaloes are looking to solve that hole on the right side of the infield, and Diaz might be an opportunity to be able to come in seize and take it. He's still young enough to make an impact for years to come in the MPB, and he also signed on a multi-year deal with Oryx. So that also makes it all the more intriguing. When I think of Jordan Diaz, in some ways I think of Neftali Soto of the Chibolote Marines. After he was let go by Cincinnati, and he had spent time with somebody else after the Reds, came over to Japan, and he's pretty much been locked in with Yokohama and now with Chiba. Extending to have himself a 7-8 year career in Japan is nothing to sniff at. And I think that Jordan Diaz has all the opportunities right now to be that type of guy because of his age and already his early experience, having played in the major leagues, now getting an opportunity to take a regular shift in Japan. Well, that takes care of the second base position. We're going to move ourselves over to shortstop, and we'll look at the shortstop position. Really, it's a one-man show. We've got three that are listed, but basically a truck would have to run over Kotaro Kobayashi for the others to actually get playing time. The other two that we have on the list is Kosei Osato and Sho Gibbo. So Kotaro Kobayashi is 23 years old, and he's already at 23, got five seasons of experience under his belt at the MPB level. It feels like he's been around forever. Kobayashi will be the man of the Buffaloes who they'll lean on to play shortstop, as he appeared in 136 games last year, and it's only 143 game schedule in the MPB. Last year, though, he did only have two home runs and drive in 38. He does have a digital double-digit home run season in the past. He also played with the national team as recently as the Premier 12 tournament. With the national team, he applied his trade at third base as Sosuke Genda was favored at the shortstop position. So he can play around the infield, and maybe long-term, you know, if the Buffaloes end up getting themselves another shortstop in the next 4 or 5 years, then that would give an opportunity for Kobayashi to move to the corner. But right now, I would think that up until he's 30 years old, he should be the everyday shortstop for the Buffaloes, which is bad news for Kosei Osato. He was turning 25 this season. He was originally chosen in the development draft back in 2021. He could play third, short, and second. He collected his first hit in the MPB last year against the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. He had a couple of home runs and five stolen bases, but as far as I can tell right now, he is a classic roster filler. As long as he's a pretty good guy and liked by his teammates and works hard and gives the support to the number one player of Kobayashi, I don't really see a whole lot of playing time coming for Osato, unless an injury takes place to the everyday shortstop. And the other one on our list is Sho Gibbo, who is 24 years old, also another roster filler. Not enough power, not enough speed in 256 at-bats. He does have a .238 batting average, but honestly, if you can't produce something, man, I get it, shortstops aren't necessarily known for their power, but you got to be able to have some wheels. You got to be able to hit for a good average. And at this point in time, Gibbo doesn't show any of those. So we'll have to see where that ends up leaving him out. Well, that leaves us to the third base position. As we take a look at that spot, and you'll see a familiar name on the list there as well. At third base, we've got Yuma Mune, Masahiro Nishino, and Jared Dale yet again as options. Mune is going to be 29 years old this season, and he's a three-time Pacific League best nine player, as well as a three-time gold glove winner, NPB All-Star, and he won, of course, the Japan Series in 2022. He's diminutive in stature, but big in heart. Mune struggled through a leg injury in 2024. If you caught any of the games or were able to look at any of the comings and goings for the Buffaloes last year, Yuma Mune, when he was playing, it was like he was wearing a catcher's shin guard on his leg, and that made it definitely an impeding problem for him. He only hit one homer and had 22 RBIs hitting 235. They're going to need him to regain some offensive form. And I would say in a normal year for somebody like Mooney to be up around 10 home runs, to drive in 60 runs and hit 260, 270, I think, and play the defense that he can would be a great thing for the Buffaloes. But that is what they're going to need from him. If not, then maybe it's time that they got to start looking in the cupboard for somebody else. The other player is Masahiro Nishino. We spoke about him at the second base position, and he played the most for the Buffaloes last year since 2019. Again, I think the Buffaloes are going to be leaning heavily on Mooney. They also have Jared Dale on the list. And as we said before, Dale probably second or third base as options. They can get his bat in the lineup. And again, if Mooney gets hurt, the Buffaloes are really going to have to start to look for answers at this position long-term if he's not able to give them a full season this year. Well, that is the infield. And we're going to take a look at the outfield when we come back in just a couple of moments. You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back after this little timeout. Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Rouse Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report found on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel and wherever you download your podcasts. Welcome back, everybody. It is the outfield that is up for the topic now. And for the Buffaloes, there is some competition, I think, in the outfield this year for spots, especially with what I call true outfielders. And then, of course, when you have the likes of Tomoya Mori and others competing for playing time, you can always use some of those. But we'll kick it off at the top of the list with Ryoma Nishikawa. Nishikawa was brought in last year as a free agent signing from the Hiroshima Carp. The 30-year-old played 138 games for the Buffaloes last year after signing on as a domestic free agent. Nishikawa predominantly played left field for the Buffaloes and filled the role that was vacated after the 2022 season by Masataka Yoshida. Yoshida, though, the difference between Yoshida and Nishikawa, Nishikawa is a pretty good outfielder. Got a chance to see him play for the Carp against Yokohama a couple years ago live. I'm really impressed with the way that he could get into the gap, go after and get balls, had good reads, good jumps. And so Nishikawa was definitely what I would call a upgrade over the others in the defensive role in left field for Oryx. On the flip side of the coin, Nishikawa does need to pick up his batting average and some of his offensive production. He is an above-average arm for the right fielder. He hit 258 last year with 7 homers and 46 RBIs. And one would expect that he's going to be a regular probably for the next couple of years in that spot. He hit up and down the batting order. At the beginning of the year, he was in the 3-4 spot, and then he slid down and bounced back up. But for the most part, you would expect Nishikawa to be a top-of-the-order hitter. He doesn't really supply a lot of speed like he did when he was younger, at least on the base paths. Nishikawa will give you a reliable, solid, everyday veteran in your lineup. Next one we have on the list is Shuhei Fukuda. And Fukuda, all the games that the 32-year-old played last year were in the outfield. All 7 seasons in the NBB have been with the Oryx Buffaloes. He's got a homer, 13 RBIs, and 7 stolen bases to go with a .233 batting average. What does that all translate into? In my books, it translates into Fukuda being a role player on this team. But at the same time, an important one at 32 years old, being a veteran who can command defensively and potentially also be able to do some pinch running late in games will give them some options. The third on our list is Yutaro Sugimoto, and Sugimoto is going to be turning 34 just after opening day. Sugimoto's best baseball really in his career has been played since he turned 30 years old. Played a big role in the middle of the batting order for the Buffaloes when they were in that back-to-back-to-back Japan series appearances. He appeared in 56 games in the outfield last year with another 26 games as a designated hitter. Injuries have slowed Sugimoto the last couple of years, and he's not the most fleet of foot to begin with. Last year, he had 11 homers, 27 RBIs, and hit .233. Keep an eye on him. If he stays healthy for a rebound year, I think he's got to get back up north of 20 bombs if he's able to play regularly in the 2025 season. The next one on our list is a bit of a head scratcher. That's Kaita Nakagawa. So 2 years ago, Nakagawa, he had the opportunity. He was playing both in center field a lot and first base. And I think that after back-to-back solid seasons in 2022-23, took a step back. Some of it were injuries. But I also, too, wonder if he fell out of favor with the manager at times. He appeared in 60 games. 53 of them were in the outfield. As we said, he's been used at first base in the past. So it'll be interesting to see if the new manager will consider doing that, using Nakagawa in the future. We've speculated sometimes how players will be deployed is always of great interest. How players are valued by new managers when they come in, when they make their changes, who the changes are, who they prefer. And certainly with Nakagawa, will he get an opportunity to continue to play in the outfield? Will he be in center field, or will they use him at first base? And so last year, .232 batting average with a couple homers and 16 RBIs. It was a drastic drop in offensive production from the year before. So we'll have to see how he's able to rebound this year. And then the other one in the mix is the soon-to-be 29-year-old outfielder Edward Olivares, who began his professional career with the Toronto Blue Jays. The Venezuelan has also spent time with the Padres, Royals, and Pirates organization, and in parts of five seasons at the MLB, he has 29 major league home runs and 886 at-bats. So we'll speculate that he's going to compete for the everyday right field position for the Buffaloes. I would think that that would probably be suited with him. So with those outfielders in mind, Nishikawa, Nakagawa, and Olivares would be the three outfielders that I could see lining up on opening day, with the potential of Sugimoto being the DH and maybe alternating back and forth with Olivares just to keep their bat in the lineup, or maybe that with Tomoya Mori as well. Because when Kenya Wakatsuki is not catching, he's usually not going to be found on the field somewhere with a bat. He doesn't have it well enough. So that is where we're at there. That is the outfield. And again, we're just going to take a little quick time out. We're going to come back with the starting pitchers as we'll examine what the Buffaloes have and the riches that they have at their disposal. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be back in just a few. Appreciate you for being with us. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Drafts Baseball. If you are into the NPB, be sure to join us for our listening parties and live English commentary on the Last Drafts Baseball YouTube channel beginning March 28th, 2025. If you're just here for the podcast, it can be found on YouTube and wherever you download your podcasts. Welcome back, everybody. We're moving to the starting pitchers, and we'll start off who we think are the big three. And we'll kick it off, first of all, with the three that we have on our board here. If you're watching us on YouTube, it's Horie Miyagi, Anderson Espinosa, and Daiki Tajima. And so when you think about it, when Masataki Yoshida, the outfielder, left for the MLB, the Buffaloes really didn't skip a beat returning to the Japan Series the following year. But when Yoshinobu Yamamoto left at the end of the 2023 season to join the Los Angeles Dodgers, it left a huge void in the pitching staff. And really, a couple of things. Number one is the amount of innings that Yamamoto was able to eat up. Two is the strikeouts, as well as, you know, keeping balls that weren't put in play, were a big thing for him. And on top of that, then you also have to look at Yamamoto getting the victories and getting clutch victories as needed. And so that just kind of moved everybody up the ladder a little bit. And they did try to replace in some ways with Anderson Espinosa was okay, but he's going to have to give them a little bit more this year. And so we kick it off with Horie Miyagi, arguably, in my opinion, now the best left-handed pitcher in the NPB since Shota Imanaga left to go play for the Chicago Cubs. 23-year-old had a string of double-digit win seasons snapped last year as he was only able to win seven games. Miyagi is durable as he threw 141 and two-thirds innings in the 20 games last year for the Buffaloes he appeared in. Posted a 1.91 ERA, struck out 139 batters, which was nearly one per game. And he only walked 22 batters, which works out to 1.4 walks per nine innings. That's pretty impressive. Miyagi mixes his fastball and combination of off-speed pitches to really keep hitters off balance. It's fun to watch Miyagi when he pitches. He really works all four quadrants of the zone. And I personally just enjoy watching him be able to pitch. And in some ways, I think they get the most out of Lease. Doesn't have an overpowering fastball. He'll sit in the low 90s. Every once in a while, I could dial it up. But I also get a kick out of it when he throws his Ephus pitch. He'll throw a pitch up to the plate at 50-some-odd miles an hour, which is a lot different than what they would expect. But those would be the pitchers that we would expect. And Miyagi being the ace of the staff, I'm not sure if he is a true ace or will evolve into one, but he certainly was a nice complementary piece as a number two to Yamamoto when he was there. So we'll see if Miyagi could take his game to another level. The next pitcher on our list is Anderson Espinosa. And in his second year with the Buffaloes, he was outstanding. The soon-to-be 27-year-old enjoyed his first year in the NPB with a 2.63 ERA and 133 and two-thirds innings. So despite the 7-9 win-loss record, the Venezuelan was an innings eater and was one of four Buffaloes to log over 100 innings pitched last year. Anderson's fastball sits in the low 90s but can top out around 94. His secondary pitches, he's got a nasty curveball, he's got a changeup that often sinks. That complements the movement on his fastball. Very quick arm action and clean mechanics. So expect Espinosa to potentially take another step. 27 years old. He probably not even in his prime yet or just entering his prime. So I think the best is yet to come for him. Another pitcher that is moving up here is the Daiki Tajima. So we got Tajima slotted as the three, and that can be debated when you see the next three pitchers. Tajima got the pivotal start in Game 5 of the 2023 Japan Series against the Hanshin Tigers, and it was an absolutely masterful piece that Tajima had. He went seven innings, leaving with a 2-0 lead, and it looked like the Buffaloes were going to run out of that game at the Koshin with a 3-2 lead over the Tigers, only having to win one, but it was a colossal collapse by the Buffalo bullpen. A six-run eighth inning by the Tigers allowed them to take a commanding 3-2 series lead, which was eventually won by Hanshin when they came back to the Kyocera Dome. Tajima was not the same pitcher in the 2024 season. The 28-year-old went 6-8, posted an ERA of 3.68 with 117 and a third innings. He did strike out 87 batters and walked 34, but provided the Buffaloes, again, an innings eater and depth. So those are the top three pitchers that we think are pretty much locks to be on the starting staff. The next three pitchers, will lead it off with Ryuhei Sotani. He is a 24-year-old left-hander who worked his second season with the Buffaloes. He appeared in 20 games, worked 119 innings, and, well, he had a 2.34 ERA. Sotani struck out nearly one batter per inning as he had 117 and only allowed 27 base on balls. So another solid piece in the rotation for the Buffaloes. So he was the fourth one, as we mentioned, that had 100 or more plus innings. Pretty impressive for that group. And now the interesting piece, where Aaron Curry will fit in. Aaron Curry, in our opinion, could be as high as a 2, could be as low as a 5 on this staff. But he used his domestic free agent status and joined the Oryx Buffaloes this year. It's the first time in his career that he has played for somebody else other than the Hiroshima Carp. He was an 11-year veteran, and he brings a career 71-67 record to the Buffaloes. And if you listen to our channel, we're a huge fan of Curry. Got to see him pitch on three separate occasions live back in 2023, including a combined shutout victory over the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars, collecting a win over Shota Imanaga when I was in Japan. Curry is in a stretch of eight straight seasons where he's logged 100 or more innings pitched. Last season in 23 games, he worked 131 and two-thirds innings, posting an ERA of 3.35. He worked to a 7-10 record. Curry typically doesn't dominate opposing hitters, but rather he does pitch to contact. He had 95 strikeouts, but he only walked 29 batters during the 2024 season. The other one on the list, the number six spot, we're giving the nod to Shinpita Yamashita. In 2023, Yamashita was the Pacific League Rookie of the Year by posting a 9-3 record, registering an ERA of 1.61, and helping the Buffaloes win the Pacific League. But 2024 was a different story, and if there were the term sophomore jinx was to be used, right next to it would be the picture of Shinpita Yamashita. As in 14 games last year, he only worked 64 innings, though his fastball is a plus fastball. It's a power fastball. He struck out 83 batters in those 64 innings. But the concern is his walks and the command of his pitches. He walked 31 batters. That's a clip of nearly one every other inning. So bringing in the veteran Curry should help surround Yamashita and the other young Buffalo hurlers with some experience. Maybe to help him get over the hump mentally and emotionally through the NPB season. So I kind of like the move of Curry, as well as the potential for Yamashita being there. We'll look at three other names that could potentially be starters as well, who did get time last year. I really liked what I saw of Kohei Azuma. Azuma in 10 games worked 58 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 38 and walked 15. But what role is he going to play? Well, I'm not sure if they would put him down on the farm to get some work. One would think that he should be competing for the last spot in the rotation, but he also would be the leading benefactor in the event that there's an injury to one of the top five or six arms potentially. Or maybe you slate him into the bullpen and you bring him in some long relief and you keep him ready in case somebody goes down. In today's baseball, there's most of the time you're not going to be able to have guys be able to pitch the full distance. And certainly, you know, to have everybody make all of their starts is asking a lot. So I would think at some point in time, he is probably going to get some spot starts. The second on the list is Kyosuke Saito. And Saito is a diminutive right-hander. He is a 20-year-old, and he has had cups of coffee with the big club over the past two seasons. He was assigned to the Australian Winter League to work on his craft and played with the Melbourne Aces. Ironically, his numbers in Oz weren't that much better than what he produced in Japan. And Australia was 3-1 with a 4.34 ERA, and he struck out 31 in 29 innings of work for the Aces. So we'll see what he can bring back after a winter in Australia to work on his craft. And the other one, the last one, is another diminutive pitcher. It's 29-year-old Taisuke Yamaoka. Yamaoka only pitched in six games for the Buffaloes last year. He's had some real solid seasons for Oryx, including posting 13 wins back in the 2019 season, but he's had a history of injuries, and it's plagued the diminutive righty. And it might be the bullpen where he could be the most effective. They list him at 5'8" and 150 pounds. He is definitely the definition of a small righty. And for those of you who don't know, we talk about it sometimes on our streams that guys that are defined as small righties by major league standards are those who stand about 6'2" or under. And yeah, there are the exceptions. You think of Marcus Stroman, and you think of guys like Sonny Gray and also Pedro Martinez, who's in the Hall of Fame. But a lot of the right-handers that are small end up usually with shoulder issues through their points of their career. And you have to wonder if Yamaoka would be better served getting one-inning spurts out of the pen to be most effective, because he does have a lot of good stuff on his pitches. He can command them, he can control them, but you can't throw them if you're not healthy. Well, that is where we stand with the starting staff. We're going to take a look at the bullpen when we come back in just a few. So once again, everybody, stick around with us. The back end is just around the corner on the Last Perhaps Baseball YouTube channel, as well as the Japan Baseball Report. We'll be right back after this.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Perhaps Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, found on the Last Perhaps Baseball YouTube channel, wherever you download your podcasts.
Well, the bullpen is kind of evolving right now. We're going to look at the back end, and we have the three names on the list. We got Andreas Machado, Luis Perdomo, and Yoshi Hirano. And Yoshi Hirano is on the wrong side of 40, and we witnessed it last season as his role with the team when healthy will be probably different than before. Machado is pushing his way into the closing role, and that's what we expect to see more of in 2025. So Machado, the soon-to-be 32-year-old Venezuelan, had parts of four seasons at the MLB level with Kansas City and Washington. Machado picked up 23 saves for the Buffaloes last year in 53 games. And at times, Machado was absolutely lights out and basically unhittable. He ended the season with a 5-3 record and a 2.03 ERA, striking out 58 batters, only walking 18 in his 53 and a third innings of work. Machado was an NPB All-Star in his first year in the league. And when you think about it, he's now getting an opportunity to get paid as well, because when he was with the Kansas City Royals, I believe it was in 2015, he had Tommy John surgery. So he was a Tommy John survivor. And so Machado now being healthy and being able to pitch, he's getting the opportunity in the NPB to do so. Another one who is worth the look at is Luis Perdomo. The Dominican right-hander came to Oryx after a single season with Chiba, and now he's back for his second year with the Buffaloes. Soon-to-be 32-year-old was even better in 2024 than in his first season in the NPB. Perdomo appeared in 28 games. He was 1-0 for the Buffaloes last year in 28 innings, and he had a microscopic ERA of 0.64. Perdomo is a pitch-to-contact reliever who only fanned 19 batters last year, but the impressive part was he only walked three in his 28 innings of work. So Perdomo is also at the back end, both international players. And then the last one we talked about at the top when we introduced the bullpen was Yoshi Hirano. The former Arizona Diamondback and Seattle Mariner reliever is still at the back end, well, of the bullpen, but he's in the back end of his career. Longtime closer for the Buffaloes, seemingly has passed the torch last season. Hirano was 1-1 with a 4.22 ERA in 12 games. He did pick up seven saves in his 10 2/3 innings of work, but he missed quite a bit of time through injury, and I'm not really convinced that Hirano's got a lot left. Whatever work he will get may not necessarily be the high-leverage positions he was once afforded. So that is the back end of the pen. If I go and look at the link men, or the guys that we would say that would be setting up the pen, we've got three names to take a peek at here. Yuki Utagawa. Well, I got concerns about Utagawa and the health of Utagawa. I'm not sure where he is at there. Maybe the mental health or the physical health. We were on the call last year in one of the games that Utagawa walked off the mound in the middle of an inning in obvious pain. And it appeared that there was a 10-mile-an-hour drop in his fastball. And really, he had no command on his pitches last year. You look at Utagawa, even though he was an integral part of the bullpen during the run to the Japan series in the last couple of years, 12 walks and 11 2/3 innings last year was an early warning sign, maybe even before the injury. And when healthy, he is an important piece for the Buffaloes. So keep your eye on Utagawa to see how he responds. And certainly, is it physical and also, too, the mental part for some of these players? Are they able to keep it together when things go a little sideways? That's always something to note as well. Next one on our list is Sichiro Yamazaki. Saw limited duty during the 2024 season, only appeared in seven games, working 6 2/3 innings, posted a 1.35 ERA. And when we talk about mental, Yamazaki was one of the pitchers on the mound in that game five the year before in the Japan series, where the Buffaloes blew that 2-0 lead when the Tigers put up the six runs. So you often wonder sometimes when you have an implosion of that magnitude, how does that affect the pitcher moving forward, especially in his career? The other one on the list is Shota Abe. The 32-year-old saw limited duty last year. He worked in 17 games, and he was steady in the time that he worked. He pitched 14 2/3 innings, striking out 13 along the way and only allowing three earned runs. So kind of curious to see where Abe fits in the mix here. I would think that being a veteran and knowing the manager, I would think that he probably gets his opportunity. Well, I've got five other ones here for us, and that'll be the rest of the pen. I'm going to talk about that when we take a little break here. We're going to get ourselves a drink, and we'll be back in just a couple moments on the Last Perhaps Baseball YouTube channel. Hang with us, everybody.
The Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Perhaps Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastperhapsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season.
Well, the first one on the list here of the bullpen is somebody I want to talk extensively about. We'll also talk about the rest a little bit, but Kosei Yoshida, the former first overall pick by the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters, enjoyed a fine season last year for the Oryx Buffaloes. And he's got a great story. So if you've not heard about the story of Yoshida, kick back and relax. We'll share it with you. For some of the casual listeners, as we talked about at the top, the Koshin Tournament is the high school tournament that takes place in the spring and in August in Japan. And some people say it's where Japanese legends are born. Well, Yoshida certainly fits into that category. So, for instance, Daisuke Matsuzaka, the Boston Red Sox pitcher and architect of the mythic Gyro Ball, began a summer Koshin tournament in 1998 with a 148-pitch shutout. And that performance came in the round of 16 of the summer Koshin. A day later, he threw 250 pitches. Yeah, a day later, 250 pitches in a 17-inning quarterfinal. And then the next day started in left field, but went into pitch and relief after his team trailed 6-0. Then the team that he was playing with scored 7 runs in the last 2 innings to win it. And then he threw a no-hitter to win the championship game. So that's pretty unbelievable stuff. Now, with Matsuzaka's place in baseball Japanese folklore, summer Koshin also gets hype. And just so the hype that you guys understand what it entails, for those of you who may be the casual listener, is that it's like the NCAA tournament. It's like the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's like the Little League World Series. And I say NCAA basketball tournament, the final, you know, March Madness. And that's kind of the vibe and the feel that it has. It's intense over a very short period of time, being the month. And every year, it is the people in Japan tune in to see how those high school players will play. And for the month of August each year, the Hanshin Tigers, they kind of get kicked out of that stadium. They give up their home ground so that the 56 high schools can compete every day on national TV for one of Japan's most revered athletic prizes. And as we said, that would be the Koshin Championship. But the tournament has drawn criticism for player safety, as advocates will say there is no pitch count limits. And this is what we're getting at. As Matsuzaka threw more than 500 pitches in 1998, the eventual New York Yankee standout Masahiro Tanaka, who is now with the Yomiuri Giants, he threw 742 pitches in 52 and two-thirds innings in 6 outings in 2006. That wasn't even the most pitches thrown in that tournament. There was a young fellow named Yuki Saito, who threw 948 pitches in 69 innings. And so there was a nickname that was placed upon him called the Handkerchief Prince, after TV cameras spotted him wiping away the sweat with a pale blue cloth in between breaks in the action. But let's get back to Kosei Yoshida for a moment. Yoshida led the Kansai Agricultural High School to the championship game behind 881 pitches over 50 innings and 6 outings, all in the span of 2 weeks. That's absolutely incredible when you think about it. He pitched in 6 games. He was 5-1. And when you look at that there in the 2018 tournament, he pitched on August 8th, 14th, 17th, and then 18th. So he went back-to-back days through 164 pitches on August the 17th in 1998, and then through 140 the day after that. That's absolutely incredible. And he was fairly decent throughout the tournament until he got roughed up on August 22nd. He gave up 12 runs, 11 were earned, as they ended up getting knocked out of losing the tournament. But pretty amazing that they were able to ride that one pitcher all the way. And when he was drafted, there was a lot of hype around him. And he's not a big guy either. He stands below 5'9", just a little guy, throws hard. And the Fighters have been in a bit of a rebuild and a retool. And certainly when you have all that success at a high school level and then you get placed into the pros, you expect everything's going to come easy. And he did sort of struggle. And so the change of scenery with him going to the Oryx Buffaloes, ending up in the bullpen, it's been a pretty good story for him. He's been able to enjoy a professional career. So in 50 outings last year for the Buffaloes, Yoshida was 4-0 in 40 and two-thirds innings of work. He'd struck out 30 batters and walked 14, but he also hit 5. He's starting to earn more opportunities pitching higher leverage situations, but that really he hasn't really quite arrived there yet, at least on a regular basis. So Yoshida is definitely an interesting piece. Keep an eye on him. So that's our extended look. Our other players on the list, we've got Keisuke Honda. Honda is new to the Buffaloes. He came over from the Saitama Cebu Lions. He's a seasoned, grizzled veteran. He's going to be 32 early in the year. He's 9 seasons he's pitched, all with the Lions. Pretty steady throughout his career, but he did struggle at times last year. And so when you look at free agents and you look at pitchers, last year he had a 4.11 ERA, which is a half a point over his career average. So one thing you look at when you're bringing in pitchers into your program, you look at them and you say, hey, has Kishida see something in Honda that he can make an adjustment to maybe be able to get him to do things or to help him be able to do things that he couldn't do before. And I think that's going to be an interesting piece to look at. So the next one is Hitomi Honda, the other Honda in the bullpen. And the 25-year-old appeared in 23 games last year. He worked 22 and a third innings. He walked 10 and struck out 15. So Honda is going to get some more opportunities. He'll continue to move along. And then the other two fellas that we have, we've got Nobuyoshi Yamada. I would think that in his case, he is a bit of a stable pony for the bullpen or the back of the bullpen. He's 33 years old, so the elder statesman outside of Hirano, of course. In 50 games, he was 3-2 last year, so he pitched a lot with a 2.08 ERA. And he'd worked 43 and a third innings out of the pen, only walking 16 and striking out 44. So when you have a veteran pitcher like that, certainly with some of the younger arms that are around him, they can, you know, getting them prepared mentally how to come out of the pen to get ready to pitch probably would be of great assistance for the ball club as well. And then lastly on our hit list, we've got Taito Takashima, the 25-year-old. He was sent to play also winter ball in Australia with the Melbourne Aces, but he absolutely got roughed up. In six appearances with five starts, his ERA was north of 9. Surrendered 42 hits in 23 and two-thirds innings pitched. And so when you send a guy to winter ball to work on things, you wonder what they got out of the Australian experience. Well, you're getting roughed up in Australia as a starter. I wonder what that leaves you with the look or the potential of what kind of spot you're going to have in the bullpen, if at all, for the Buffaloes to begin the year. So that is where we stand. We're going to take one more little break. We'll come back and give you our predictions, let you know where we think the Buffaloes are going to end up here in the 2025 season. We'll be right back after this.
Are you into slow motion video of hitting and pitching mechanics? Last Rouse Baseball's YouTube channel has been updating our database. During the 2025 season, we'll be uploading more video with our thoughts and analysis. If you're just here for the podcast, you're listening to the Japan Baseball Report found on the Last Rouse Baseball YouTube channel, wherever you download your podcasts.
Well, what do we think the Buffaloes are going to do this season? Well, we are very confident. We think they're going to get back to the playoffs. And in fact, we think they're going to get to third place. Not going to make any predictions if they'll get to the Japan series or not, but they certainly have enough talent to be able to be on the playoff ledger this time around. We gave you our thoughts on the Santa Fe Cebu Lions. We figure that they will lock up sixth spot again this year. But then as we move along here, we'll give you the other ones coming up. But third place for the Buffaloes, we also think they're going to win 73 games. And 73 games should be good enough to get them into that spot. That means that they would probably be the worst case scenario if they don't have any ties would be at 70 losses. They'll play above 500 this year. But again, I hope that the manager would provide more lineup stability. One of the things that we saw with manager Nakajima the year before is there was a lot of movement all over the place. They would bring in different players and all the time. It's hard for guys to play every day and to be able to hit when you're kind of freezing them. And I know major league players like to play every day when you're a positional player because the timing is important to be able to stay in the lineup, to see the pitching regular so you're getting that opportunity. But we also say this, that he does understand the pitching staff, and I'm curious to see how he uses that any differently from when he was the pitching coach on how he would advise his manager, Nakajima, and certainly now being able to be in command. If he leaves his pitchers in a little longer, takes them out a little sooner, those will always be tendencies that we're going to want to look at when a new manager takes the helm. Well, that's going to be it for the second Japan Baseball Report. We appreciate you guys if you've hung around with us this long to listen in. Be sure to check us out on YouTube. We will be calling games in the World Baseball Classic qualifiers. We'll get tuned up with the NPB in the regular season, and then everything gets going on March the 28th, where we can start giving some more calls of the NPB games and even slide in some Major League Baseball stuff along the way. Once again, everybody, we appreciate you for listening in. We'll be back again in the next little bit, probably in about 5 or 6 days with our third one. It is going to be the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles that we will look at next. So be sure to jump in and check in with us as we make our way through the Pacific League with Last Wraps Baseball and the Japan Baseball Report.
Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Grasp Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastgraspbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season.